President Trump now says he no longer views Anthropic as a national security threat, according to the Indian Express report in today's source set. That is the plain new fact in the Anthropic story. A few days ago, the story around the company was access restriction, government fear, and whether a frontier model could be switched off by policy. Today, the reported posture is different. The lab is back inside the room, and the conversation sounds less like a ban and more like a negotiation over evidence.
The important detail is that the evidence now has to be inspectable. If the political claim is, this model is safe enough for certain users, then the lab has to show more than a feeling of safety. Someone in government needs a test result, a red team record, a disclosure path, or at least a named process that can survive contact with a skeptical agency lawyer.
That is why the Anthropic research post matters here. The Hacker News item points to Project Fetch, Phase 2, and even without treating a research launch as a policy answer by itself, it gives Anthropic a primary artifact. The company can point to a program, say what it is trying to measure, and say what it learned. That is a different posture from trust us or the White House is overreacting. It gives everyone a table to argue over.
The table matters because the reaction environment is messy. The agenda includes Reddit posts summarizing claims from The Economist about Mythos breaking into classified systems. I would keep those outside the center unless you have the underlying reporting in front of you. They explain why people are reacting so strongly, but they aren't the same as a primary incident report.
Right. I wouldn't build the episode on the Reddit summaries. Start with the status change, then ask what could make it plausible. Indian Express has the reported political reversal. Axios has the G7 setting, where AI CEOs are being treated less like ordinary vendors and more like actors governments have to bargain with. Anthropic has the research artifact. Put those together, and frontier model access now seems to depend on an argument the lab can keep making in technical terms.
The danger is that technical terms can become a performance too. A benchmark can be a ceremony. A red team report can be scoped so narrowly that it reassures the people already inclined to be reassured. The pressure gets better when outsiders can ask what you tested, what failed, who repeated it, and what changed afterward.
And the incentive for Anthropic is obvious enough. The company wants to be seen as serious about safety without becoming the company governments are most comfortable blocking. That is hard to manage in public, so the work moves toward artifacts. The lab can bring model cards and eval programs. It can show security demonstrations, named researchers, and structured access policies. Those records give it a better chance of being treated as a negotiating partner instead of a risk category.
There is a builder version of that too. If your product depends on one of these models, the political decision becomes a runtime property. You don't just ask whether the model is capable. You ask whether the provider can keep access available. Explain restrictions before they break your workflow, and give you enough warning when policy changes. That is less romantic than model capability, but anyone who has operated a system knows access policy is part of reliability.
That is the bridge from the G7 story. Axios frames the AI CEOs at the summit as unusually central to a standards conversation. I don't love treating corporate leaders as quasi-sovereign figures because it can make the politics feel inevitable. But the practical point is hard to dodge. If governments depend on frontier systems, and frontier systems remain concentrated inside a few companies, then access agreements become part of state capacity.
So the lab has to satisfy two audiences at once. Engineers want mechanisms. They want evals, logs, kill switches, reproducible tests, and incident response. Governments want assurances about jurisdiction, export posture, who can use the model, and what happens when someone misuses it. Project Fetch can speak to the first audience. The political reversal only holds if someone can translate that into the second audience without laundering uncertainty away.
My read is that this is the most interesting new Anthropic development today because it moves the story forward without replaying the old access argument. The company is still under scrutiny. The government is still trying to decide what counts as acceptable risk. But the reported move from threat to negotiated actor tells you where the next fight happens, inside tests, disclosures, and the credibility of the people interpreting them. Martin Fowler published a Bayer case study on building reliable agentic AI systems, and the Hacker News discussion around it is exactly where the builder part of the day starts. The piece isn't selling agents as a magic layer over messy work. It is about data ingestion, schemas, state, evaluation, and the review surface around the generated result.
That is the version I trust more, because reliable agent work starts to look like ordinary software again. You need the right inputs, you need state you can inspect, and you need a human review path that catches the bad output before it becomes a business fact. The model is only one component in that system.
There was a second builder item today that sharpened that point. Vinicius Brazil has a post called "When I Reject AI Code, Even If It Works." The title sets up the argument neatly. Anyone who has reviewed code from a teammate knows the feeling. Yes, the test passes. And no, I don't want to own this abstraction for the next 3 years.
I would put it more bluntly. Working output isn't the same as acceptable ownership. A patch can pass the current tests and still leave you with a hidden coupling, a naming scheme nobody understands, a dependency you didn't need, or a function that solved the example while dodging the domain. AI code makes that review burden show up faster, but the standard isn't new.
The Indian Express piece on agent loops adds the broader vocabulary. Prompting is becoming less like a single request and more like a loop with planning, tools, feedback, and memory. I would be cautious about the claim that prompting is obsolete because people still have to specify intent, but the unit of work is changing. You aren't just asking a model for text. You are setting up a process that can observe, act, check, and try again.
And each extra loop adds a place where the system can lie to itself. Did the tool return the right record? Did the agent summarize the state faithfully? Did the evaluator check the real requirement or the generated explanation of the requirement? The moment you have a loop, you have a ledger problem. You need a record of what happened and how the final answer describes it.
That connects to the cognitive debt item in the source set, but I wouldn't overbuild the term. Teams already know the feeling. A code base accumulates decisions that nobody can explain. Agentic systems can accumulate decisions nobody remembers asking for. The new pain is that the work can be produced quickly enough that review becomes the limiting resource.
There is a craft discipline hiding in that sentence. If the agent changed 10 files, the reviewer should be able to ask for the intent, the evidence, the rollback path, and the tests that cover the changed behavior. A confident paragraph with no trace behind it isn't reviewable. It is a story about an artifact.
That is why I like pairing Fowler and Bayer with the Reject AI Code post. One is architecture. Build a system where data, state, and review are first class. The other is taste. Don't accept generated code simply because it compiles. Together, they make agentic engineering feel less like prompt craft and more like a review culture with better instruments.
The practical test is whether the agent leaves the next engineer more informed. If it touched billing logic, did it explain the invariant? If it changed retrieval, did it show the before and after cases? If it wrote migration code, did it name the data it expects to find? Those aren't anti-AI demands. They are the demands you make of any colleague whose work you have to maintain.
And they are also the demands governments are going to make of labs. That is the small bridge I will allow myself today. The Anthropic story and the agent engineering story both reward systems that can produce evidence after the fact. If the output can't be reviewed, repeated, or explained at the right level, the human around it inherits the risk. TechMeme has a Palantir and NHS item today, and the cluster is less about one vendor than about the way public institutions are trying to buy AI without fully knowing how accountability should work afterward. Health systems aren't ordinary enterprise customers. The decision touches procurement, patient trust, public records, and political legitimacy.
A public hospital system can't treat a data platform like a private dashboard. If an AI-assisted workflow affects triage, staffing, forecasting, or patient communication, someone has to answer for the recommendation when it travels through the institution. The contract is only the beginning. The operating model is where the argument becomes expensive.
The UK Home Office item makes the same point from a different angle. Public Technology says the Home Office launched a £75 million police AI program to use artificial intelligence in policing and justice. That isn't a small internal productivity experiment. Policing systems touch evidence, discretion, bias, civil rights, retention, and public challenge. The procurement language may sound like modernization, but the review burden is much heavier than that word suggests.
Police technology always has this extra step. Who can contest the system? If a model helps prioritize a lead, write a summary, search a record, or detect a pattern, the person affected by the decision needs some path back to the source material. Otherwise, the institution asks people to trust a generated layer when the underlying record should have been preserved.
Reuters adds the liability version of the same institutional problem. Google is challenging a German court ruling that assigned liability for AI overviews producing false claims. That isn't the same domain as policing or healthcare, but it points to the same operational question. When generated output harms someone, who is responsible for the output being published in that setting?
And search is a hard case because users treat it as an answer surface, not as a playful model sandbox. If Google puts generated text above the web results, the product design gives that text authority. The legal fight will turn on law, jurisdiction, and platform doctrine. But the product reality is simple enough. Placement changes how people believe the sentence.
I would separate the three stories rather than flattening them into one governance take. The NHS item is about public sector procurement and vendor power. Police AI is about state use of model-assisted systems in coercive settings. The Google ruling is about liability for public information. They share pressure, but the remedies won't be the same.
Exactly, and the difference matters. A health system might need audit rights, data minimization, and exit paths. A policing program needs chain of custody and contestability. A search product needs publication responsibility and correction mechanics. If you use one generic AI policy vocabulary for all three, you miss the parts that hurt people.
This is also where the weekend news feels less speculative than summit talk. You can argue about global AI standards for months. A contract, a policing program, and a court ruling force a public institution to answer a narrower question. Who signs for the generated output when it leaves the demo and enters someone else's life? The infrastructure cluster today starts in a strange place. TechMeme has Jane Street putting $1 billion into CoreWeave exposure. And another tech meme item has Allbirds linked SmartBird compute ambitions. Add the Hacker News item about big tech borrowing and the China Talk piece on transmission build-out, and the story is less chips are expensive than AI capacity keeps pulling money and logistics in from odd directions.
The Jane Street and CoreWeave item is the one that jumps out because it treats compute like a financial instrument as much as an operating resource. That makes sense. If GPU capacity is scarce, contracted, financed, and valuable to a company's strategy, then trading firms and infrastructure investors will find ways to express a view on it. Compute becomes a thing you can finance around.
The big tech borrowing story adds the other side. The companies with the strongest balance sheets are still reaching for debt because the build-out is too large to treat as ordinary capex. I don't want to replay yesterday's budget segment, so the fresh part today is the range of actors, hyperscalers borrowing, trading firms getting exposure, and even companies with no obvious AI heritage looking for a compute angle.
And the China Talk transmission piece is a reminder that money isn't enough. You can finance the data center and still run into power delivery, interconnection queues, transformers, permitting, and regional politics. A model company can announce capacity faster than a grid operator can build physical transmission. That gap keeps showing up under different names.
The counterpoint from local LLAMA is Noema Atlas, a proposal for decentralized model distribution. I would present it as a builder artifact to follow, not proven infrastructure. The appeal is obvious. If everyone gets models from a few centralized hosts, then access control, takedowns, outages, and bandwidth costs become shared dependencies. Peer-to-peer distribution is one way builders are trying to loosen that dependency.
Peer-to-peer model weights also create hard questions. How do you verify the file? How do you handle licensing? How do you prevent poisoned variants from circulating under a trusted name? How does a normal developer know the model they pulled is the model the author released? Decentralization helps with availability, but it pushes trust into signatures, registries, and social proof.
That is the reason I like the Noema item in the same segment as the finance items. One side of the ecosystem is raising and borrowing giant sums to secure capacity. Another side is asking whether model access should depend on a small number of distribution points. They are different scales of response to the same practical fear. The work stops when the dependency disappears.
For builders, the question gets very concrete. Can you reproduce your run 6 months from now? Can you fetch the same weights under the same license with the same checksums after a host changes policy? The physical data center and the model download both become part of the build environment.
That is the infrastructure note I would carry from Sunday into Monday. Capacity isn't just megawatts and GPUs. It is financing, distribution, provenance, and repeatability. The invoice is visible. The dependency graph is the part that keeps surprising people. A shorter accountability note. Nate B. Jones has a 9-minute AI news and strategy daily video in the source set about voice and presence cloning, and The Verge has The Atlantic's searchable music training database story. I would keep this segment compact because today has stronger governance and builder material, but the pairing works.
The pairing works because synthetic media debates often get stuck on whether the fake is perfect. That isn't the only threshold. In low attention environments, good enough voice or presence cloning can still move trust, money, or reputation. And on the training side, a searchable database makes provenance less abstract. Artists can ask whether their work is in the pile.
The Atlantic database, as surfaced by The Verge, matters because it changes the conversation from AI companies train on lots of music to here is a thing you can search. That kind of artifact gives creators, labels, journalists, and courts something firmer to inspect. It doesn't settle the legal argument, but it gives the argument handles.
The same goes for disclosure on generated media. A label nobody sees is weak. A provenance trail that survives export, remixing, platform upload, and screenshotting is harder. If synthetic media is now cheap enough to be ordinary, the accountability work moves into metadata, watermarking, consent records, and platform behavior.
And that is why I wouldn't treat this as a panic segment. The better lens is operational. Who consented? What was trained on? How can a person inspect the record? And what happens when the synthetic file travels away from its original platform? Those questions are less dramatic than a perfect deepfake demo, but they are where policy and product design meet. Last brief, and I am keeping it short because Braid went deep on robotics on Saturday. The source set has an X item about Jensen Huang and Elon Musk talking up humanoid robot scale, and then Ksenia Moskalenko and Mark Andreessen pointing at Shinkei, the founder's fund-backed fish processing robotics company.
The spread between humanoid robots and fish processing is exactly why robotics coverage needs altitude control. The platform ambition is enormous. General-purpose machines, factories, homes, embodied AI. The deployable near-term examples are often narrower, wetter, messier, and more valuable than the keynote version makes them sound.
Fish processing is a good reminder that physical AI often enters through a workflow that is repetitive, skilled, labor-constrained, and hard to staff. It may not look like the humanoid future people argue about online. It may look like a machine doing one difficult operation in a cold room because the economics of that room are already strained.
And the reason investors like those verticals isn't mysterious. A narrow robot can have a clearer buyer, a measurable output, and a smaller behavior space than a household humanoid. The robot still has to survive cleaning, maintenance, edge cases, and worker acceptance, but the task boundary is less philosophical.
So that is where I would leave the robotics note. Keep the humanoid claims in view, but don't let them crowd out the strange vertical deployments. Monday's evidence will be less about who made the biggest claim and more about which robot can keep working when the environment is cold, slippery, repetitive, and full of humans trying to get through a shift.
That also loops back to the day without forcing it too hard. The AI systems today that deserve the most trust are the ones that can be inspected after the demo. Anthropic's assurance work, agent code reviews, public sector records, model distribution checks, media provenance, and robots that keep functioning in a specific room. The artifact has to survive the person who asks, "Show me."
Yes, and after a weekend full of policy reversals, agent process pieces, and infrastructure money, that is the sentence I trust most. Show me the record. Show me the test, the review, the contract, the checksum, the source material, or the deployment log. The systems that can answer that request are going to age better than the ones that only sound fluent in the first 5 minutes. Lenar Kess.